Hello.
Podcast Network Asia.
Welcome sa isang panibagong episode ng Machong Chismisan. Ito po si Ingo, ang iyong full-time daddy, part-time gamer. At kasama pa rin natin ang Keto Machine. Walang iba kundi si Makoy Pare.
Yes, Makoy Pare, your showbiz bro, ang iyong corporate slave at ang iyong resident macho next door. At kasama pa rin po natin ang taong kumukompleto sa Macho Trinity, pinakamabangis, pinakamalakas, si Tito P.
Tito P, your tege tito.
At kami nga po pala ang inyong Machong Chismisan. Kami po ang inyong twice a week source of happiness dito sa podcasting world. At kami po ang inyong longest running comedy podcast sa buong Pilipinas. At yun na po kaya namin pagmayabang, mga kaibigan. Dati po kaming number one, na-try din namin. Pero hindi kami nag-enjoy doon, kaya dito na lang kami sa bandang... Ano na mong parating natin? Wala na
tayo sa
200.
Anyways... Yun na siguro yung mga itong mga first part ng podcast na to, may enjoy nyo dahil Tagalog pa. Kung hindi kayo marunong magsalita ng English, baka hindi nyo masyado ma-enjoy. Or the other way around, baka ma-enjoy nyo dahil ito yung mga rare episodes na magpo-full English ba tayo?
Oo naman.
Makakaya sa bisita natin eh.
Kasi yung special guest natin, kasi alam nyo naman, dito sa Machong Chismisan, we have always tried to see kung paano natin ma-incorporate yung mga iba't ibang klase ng tao, iba't ibang klase ng kultura, iba't ibang klase ng pakikisama. And si Ingo, Tito P, of all people, si Ingo ang nakaisip nitong episode na to.
Oh, pare.
Siguro ikaw na yung best person to introduce us to your friend.
Okay, so this guy I've met...
Hey, Tagalog muna para pwede pa natin siya ibenta.
Puta, sige na nga. Okay, so itong tao na to, naging ka-opisina ko to sa isa sa mga largest na investment bank sa Europe. At ano siya, tawag doon, sobrang chill siya. Nung panahon na sobrang stress ako, siya chill lang siya. Parang, huwag ka mag-alala, okay lang yan, puro ganun lang siya. Tapos, nung mag-resign na kami, nakatabi ko siya sa upuan, naging seatmates kami. Okay. At siyempre, dahil mag-resign na kami, hindi kami binibigyan ng trabaho. So, buong araw kami nag-gossip lang, nagchichikahan lang. So, napakain din niya ako na... Kaya simula nun, medyo nagkaroon ako ng sneak peek sa Indian culture.
So, ano ba to? Amerikano ba tong guest natin?
Hindi pare, ito yung full-blown Indian. Born and raised.
Ano sakit?
Hindi, I mean 100% na Indian to. Walang halong MSG. Pure. Unadulterated.
Kaya pala hindi nagpakita ng isang tingin natin.
Asian. Yo, si Raul.
Sige, pakilala mo na siya. So, ito na ba yung punto na mag-i-English na tayo the whole episode?
Ito na, starting right now. So, for those who are listening, this is one of our Asian brethren that we don't actually consider that's Asian because their eyes look different from the standard Asian people. So presenting to you is Sumit.
Hello. Hi Sumit. Welcome to Machong Chismisan.
Good evening, Sumit.
I'm thinking, Sumit, that from our intro, you were able to understand a few words. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah, definitely. I at least figured out that Ingo and me were seatmates and we were already doing chismis. So.
you know what you were doing when you had when they were not assigning any tasks to you guys? That was called Machong Chismis, and that itself is the show, okay?
Yes.
Hi Sumit, just say hi to our listeners.
Hello everyone.
Call them chismosos and chismosas.
Chismosos, hello chismosos and chismosas. Great to be here. Loving it so far, and I'm excited.
Yeah, we also call them gagos and gagas for some reason.
Okay, I know you are now getting into risky territory.
So, by the way, Ingo, you wanna start this off?
Yeah. So let's start with his because we want to know that why an Indian person or an Indian comes to the Philippines where he can go to a non-third world country to live and work.
Yeah, there's a lot of choices to meet. You could go to Australia, New Zealand.
So I think I basically actually, so I started with Singapore, right? So I was actually a Singapore employee.
Okay.
And I was sent here on a small project, right? Okay. And I was working in India for 5 years. I worked in Singapore for a year, and then I landed in Philippines. And the project that they gave me, they said, okay, this is what you need to do in 2 months. And I sort of completed that within 2 weeks. And I'm like, okay, I'm done with this. They're like, oh, wow, 2 weeks? And they were actually expecting me to take more than 2 months. They were thinking that it'll take 3 months. And I'm like, no, I'm done with this in 2 weeks. And then I realized that they were actually expecting me to do it in 3 months because Filipinos, they don't really work as hard as we Indians do, right? And okay. And Filipinos, they don't work more than 8 hours, right? And that's my, again, I'm stereotyping, right, guys? Please don't beat me up.
Don't worry, Sumit, we're going to be stereotyping your
race.
We're going to get back at you in a while. So
basically, Indians are very hardworking, right? We work 9 to 10 hours a day. And then I went to Singapore where people were crazy, right? You'll come in at 7, they leave at 8, and they all are always trying to shut you down, right? So Singapore is a very competitive world, right? Mm-hmm. And from there, I came to Philippines. And Philippines was totally opposite, right? But I was not aware of it, right? So when I came in, I'm like, okay, I need to prove myself. I need to do this. And I'm like a Singapore employee coming here on a business trip. So company is doing so much for me. I need to deliver, right? So I delivered in 2 weeks. And they were like, okay, what do we do with this guy? Now he has done this work and we have nothing else to do, right? So then we did chismis, right? So there was nothing for me to do. And I think I sort of did nothing for next 6 weeks. And then I realized, okay, I really don't need to work as hard as I do back in Singapore, right? And I can really take it easy and enjoy everything else Philippines has to offer. So I love casino, right? So I started spending a lot of my time in Resort World. It was new at that time and it was amazing, right? And parties. And obviously, I think, again, I'm coming from Singapore where a single cigarette costed me like $1. And in Philippines, the pack of 20 Marlboro pack was like 20 pesos at that time, right? So it was it was like free. The cigarette is free. Beer is free. So why should I go back to Singapore and work so hard and not able to go out clubbing and all? And again, I think for me in Philippines, I stayed mostly in Makati and BGC. So I think I have seen a lot of Philippines, but it was pretty safe as well, right? As in before I came to Philippines, my company said, don't go here, don't go there. So initially I was scared, but once I came here, I think I sort of realized that as long as you keep to yourself, it's fun. So I think to answer your question, Philippines is a much easier country to work with. The people are a lot more friendly and they are not really trying to pull you down. They are supportive and they know how to have fun. So I think then you sort of change your basically, earlier I was a workaholic and then just trying to get ahead in my life. And when I came to Philippines, I started enjoying my life, which is a great thing to do, right? As in,
so you're not just saying that because we're Filipinos.
No. I think it's not. As in, the perspective of life has changed definitely for me. It's good to be not so competitive. I think I am still a little competitive because I'm Indian. And as you said, I was born and raised in India. So I never left India for 20, 21 years, right? So, so I'm still there. But definitely, I think I'm a lot more balanced now. I probably cannot be as chilled out and as laid back as Filipinos, but at least I think I feel I'm a lot more balanced and a lot more happier.
Okay. So Sumit, I guess one thing that I wanted to know is because you're already telling us about your life here in the Philippines, we don't really have any ideas how life is back in India. Because us, we grew up in the mean streets of Manila, like Tito P. He grew up in the mean streets of Caloocan. I'm assuming that you haven't even heard of the place Caloocan. Have you heard of Caloocan?
No, I know Kalayaan.
You know why you haven't heard of Caloocan?
No.
Because why? You shouldn't go there. Okay?
Okay.
Me, I grew up in the main streets of Malabon.
Oh,
and you
okay.
know what? I'm assuming you also don't know Malabon.
Hey, is Ingo from Malabon also?
Yeah, he's from the I'm from the rich side of Malabon, okay. which isn't really rich, which is also okay. Which isn't really rich as well. But Ingo okay. is from the worst part of Malabon.
Well, that's true.
Which is
the poor side.
Yeah, where if three dogs pee together, it's already flooded. That's the place where Ingo comes from.
And also the water in Malabon, well, the usual water, if it flows, it goes left or right. In Malabon, yeah. it goes up or down. So
okay. So Sumit, I'm assuming you're not from a poor Indian company. Indian family, I'm sorry. Are you from yeah. a poor Indian family?
No, I don't think so. We were a more middle class family.
Okay.
Wait, let's define first what's a middle class family in India.
In yeah. India, yeah.
Okay, so I think a middle class family in India is someone who probably have two kids, a two bedroom house okay. in a decent locality, and they may have a small car, and the kids go to a decent school, and you can okay. go to holiday once or twice a year to a decent location. So that's a middle class.
When you say decent location, is this abroad or?
No. I never left India till I started working, actually. So I had never even flown before I started working. So in India, the railways is a huge ways of modes of transportation.
Mm-hmm.
Although India is, and again, India is huge and it's a single continent, right? So you have trains where you can sort of do overnight journey from North India to South India.
So, I have a question
Wait, T2P. There's another follow-up question regarding what's middle class in India. So Sumit, can you describe us your wedding?
So I think wedding again, yes. We normally, and I think it doesn't really depend on your class. Even if you're poor, you are supposed to invite your whole village and your whole office and your all your schoolmates or all your batchmates and all your extended family. So
basically everyone.
Everyone you know, right? Everyone you say hi, hello to. So everyone is sort of gets invited to your wedding. So for my wedding, so we had three distinct functions, right? So there is a wedding, there is a reception at a groom's end, there is a reception at a bride's end. And I think every event had close to 1,000 guests.
Wow.
1,000 guests?
Yeah, 1,000 guests each. So as in, again, there are guests who sort of came both the parties. So maybe there were 2,000 unique guests who were invited.
2,000 unique guests?
That's a middle yeah. class for you.
Here in the Philippines.
That's middle class.
Again, that's the standard, right? So it's not that if you're poor, you will invite less people.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're poor, you will still invite maybe a little less, right? I think that's fine. But you don't really have a wedding with like only 50 people, 100 people, right? As in minimum is 400, 500 people are always there in the wedding. Obviously, you can have cheaper location. You can get married in the street, right? Isn't it? It's not that you have to really book a hall, right? As in, you can actually just put a tent in the middle of your street and block these sides.
Don't you need to have like Jesus-like powers to be able to feed 2,000 people? Like you turn bread into
multiply the bread,
bread and you multiply the fish.
How do you
feed 2,000 people?
India is more than a billion people, guys.
2,000
is nothing. So, so I think
what type of food was served during the wedding?
Yeah. What kind of food were served?
So it's all Indian food, mostly it's all vegetarian food, right? So you have naans, you have rice, you have paneer, and as in you have the whole buffet, right? So there are there are 2-3 kinds of rice, there are 2-3 kinds of rotis, and
so mostly it's carbohydrates.
Yeah, Indian.
Oh, okay. So that's your answer, Moy. That's how to.
If you're in India, you just call Indian food India. You just call food. You just call Indian food food. If you're in India.
growing up, yes. Now I think I can distinguish.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So yes, I never had chow mein, or as in again, Indian version of chow mein is very, very different, right? So I think yes, the Chinese food is the first non-Indian food I had, right? And within India also,
will your mom hit you with a stick if you ask her for some Indian food? Will she say that it's just food, stupid?
As in growing up, we never knew there is something else, right? As in growing up, I think even restaurants were not there in India, as in when I was growing up in the 80s, right? As in you normally the eating out concept is very, very new in India. Only if you're traveling you are outside home, then you eat out. But if you are at home, then you can always go and have some snacks or sweets, like something like that, right? As in Indians love their snacks and sweets, right? And we do have like shops which sell it, but you don't really have lunch or dinner outside your home. So, I never knew any. The only thing I knew is Indian food when we was growing up.
So there's not really much of fast foods there, like Western fast foods like McDonald's.
No. I think it was not there till even late 90s. I think that's when the first McDonald's opened, and it was a huge thing, right? But before that, India was also a pretty closed economy. There were no fast food concept.
Are there fake versions of McDonald's there, just like in China, or is it stricter?
I don't know if it is real fake, but there were a lot of Indian version of fast food chains that started, and they were growing well, and then suddenly when they opened up to McDonald's and all, I think everything which was small, they sort of got shut down.
Sumit, I'm just curious, since you consider cows as holy animals, predominantly in India you don't eat cows, right? So what do they serve in McDonald's there?
So in India, India is mostly chicken eating country, right? As in so chicken, as in even for me, so I was a vegetarian till I was 18, right? So I had never eaten egg or chicken till I was 18, and then I started with egg, and then I started with chicken. So till I moved to the southern part of India, I only ever ate chicken, right? So then we don't really sell a lot of even mutton or anything else in the North India. It's not so famous. As in, you have a lot of poultry farms and chicken is sold everywhere, but that's what you call non-veg in north part of India. And then when they go to south part of India, it's mostly seafood, fish, and all those things.
You said, Sumit, you said that until 18, you did not eat egg or chicken. What made you decide to break your chicken and egg virginity?
So I started going to college.
You're already 18, and then what made you decide that, I'm gonna eat chicken today? Or
so
I'm
I think it was
today.
Just a peer pressure or more
you feel rebellious against your parents that, my way to stand up for myself.
Mom, I hate you. I'm going to be rebellious. I'm going to eat chicken.
No, I think it was nothing like that. It's just that When you are in a big group and then you start, sort of people say, okay, please taste and it's, yeah, it's yummy or something. So you start tasting things and then slowly you develop a taste. And then initially I did not like chicken at all. I'm like, why should I eat this rubbery stuff, right? When I have so many better options in vegetarian food. And then slowly you develop the taste and then you start exploring more and more.
Okay, so the first time you tasted chicken, you were uncomfortable eating it, right?
I did not like it. Yeah. It was not.
I'm pretty sure the chicken did not like being eaten at that time. But you know what, Sumit? I had a friend who had almost the same experience as you are. Because with your story, you started eating chicken and egg at 18. This friend of mine started eating egg and cock at 18. He used to be a friend, but his name is Irene now.
Okay.
Well, my apologies for that, Sumit. So, moving on. So, Sumit, since most Indians are vegetarian, so is that the reason why we don't see any, you know, obese Indian because of their diet?
No, that's not true.
That's right, Ingo. I haven't seen any fat Indians yet. Are there really fat Indians?
Sumit? Yeah, definitely. So I think Indians are by nature they get fat after 35 or 40, right? As in if till 30s. They don't really, as in I could eat anything and I'll never get fat. Mm-hmm. And the moment I turn 30, as in anything I eat, I get fat.
It's like a switch.
You know why
people get fat after at a certain age? Because you start eating chicken and egg.
I think age catches up with you.
There's a similarities between Indian and Chinese because first of all their economy used to be a closed economy, and also terms of food they're really like they really preserve or they do not really enjoy Western food as well. And I think one of the similarities would be the wedding as well, because in the Filipino Chinese community they also have like a separate party for the groom, for the bride, and for the wedding itself. And there's like a showing off of riches during weddings of Chinese people. So in your case,
another similarity, Ingo.
What?
The Chinese and the Indians are both malibog. Look at their population. they're at the billions. Do you know the word malibog, Sumit?
Horny.
Yeah.
In your wedding, going back to your wedding, Sumit, because I really want to like bring out how extravagant your wedding is. Was there like a showing off of riches from your family and from your wife's family?
So not for us. I think we are again more, I think, educated and don't really believe in these things. But there are communities and there are people where dowry is a big thing. So I don't know if you understand dowry, right?
Yeah, we know dowry.
So there were no dowry in your wedding?
Yeah, there was none. Anyways, we were both living outside India. So I think sort of no gifts, etc. But yes, I think we did not go for that route.
So you paid for your own wedding?
Yeah, you do. Yes.
Okay. Should have went back to India. So. your wife pay for it.
Yeah, so I think that is still the prevalent thing. And I think if you are I think there are communities where they show off that, okay, I'm giving a Mercedes car to my girl or to groom and all those things, and they put all that for on the exhibition during the wedding. It's getting again, I think with Instagram and all, things are getting all weird nowadays, right? and I have been out of India as well for a while now, so I can't really comment much how things are there now. But I hope things are improving now. I think people are becoming more and more sensible.
Yep. So, Makoy, do you have like a list, Indian checklist ready?
Yeah, we have this new segment now for the Machong Chismosos and the Machong Chismesas. Ito nga po pala ang ating pinakabagong segment na tinatawag nating Indian Checklist. So, Sumit, we want to authenticate if you're really
pure-blooded Indian.
Pure-blooded Indian or you're just a wannabe. So, we have a set of questions and that we're gonna ask you to measure how much Indian you are. Okay?
Awesome. Okay. This is first time it's happening to me. Okay.
Yeah. So, do you know how to ride a motorcycle, Sumit?
Yeah, I do. Yes.
Okay. So that's 10 points.
No. So another question would be, do you learn sex education by reading Kama Sutra?
Oh, no, there's no Kama Sutra. The Kama Sutra is a very, very complicated book, right? As in, I tried reading it, but it's like I have never been able to successfully do any of those poses. It's I think, although the movie I have seen a few times, but I think that's not true for anyone, I believe.
Okay. So
I have another.
Is that
one.
a minus point, Ingo, or a plus point? Because I think Sumit, I'll be giving Sumit some minus points because nobody reads the Kama Sutra. We just look at the pictures.
No, I think there are again, I don't know which version of Kama Sutra you have, but they are not very fun to watch.
the version of Kama Sutra that I have is the BCD that has the Bibahat babes. Do you know the Bibahat babes?
No, I am not. Please send that to me.
We will introduce you to the Bibahat babes.
I'll send you a link later.
So just use your VPN and not your work laptop, okay?
Okay. So, Sumit, are you good in Indian math?
Yeah, definitely. Yes.
And
what's Indian math?
Actually, that's my follow-up question. What is Indian math? Because I'm only familiar with Singaporean math, which is just math but Singaporean.
Singaporean.
So I think growing up, you sort of learn multiplication tables and all those things in Hindi. So I think I still... whenever I have to calculate something, I at times go back to my Hindi multiplication tables. And
wait, you have a different multiplication table?
No, I think it's just that you don't say 2 multiply by 2 is 4. You say 2 duni 4, right? So that's the Hindi word, right?
Okay.
Counting in Hindi. And then you always say, you say 4 multiplied by 6 is 24, right? We say 4 into 6 is 24. Mm-hmm. So there is a different way of using maths. And there's mental math and all those things, but no, we did not try that. As in, I think I was pretty good at in multiplying and adding and subtracting things in my mind. All the Indians are definitely, I think, focused on mathematics or at least the basic
question. When it comes to Indian math, are you better in doing math if you're calculating your if like someone owes you money, if you calculate the amount, are you better at calculating when it comes to the money being owed to you by your friends?
not really. But yes, I think it always helps when something is owed you. You are much faster at calculating.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, the next question.
Are you familiar with 5-6?
Yes, I am. A lot of taxi drivers used to call me 5-6. Are you 5-6? Or are you Mumbai? I'm like, no.
Which actually brings me to the next item on our checklist. Is your height 5-6, Sumit?
It's more than that.
Oh, okay. What's your height, Sumit?
5'8".
Okay. Yeah. So going back to that stereotype, were you warned by your by people when they found out you were going to the Philippines? Do people in India know that there's a lot of stereotyping in the Philippines with Indian people? Were you warned?
No. I think actually, just to be frank, no one knew about Philippines in India. So...
We're not on the map.
I think the Philippine map stops
at Singapore or Thailand. Or so Thailand, everyone knows Thailand, right? As if there are a lot of people who keeps going to Thailand and people know Singapore, right? But as in Philippines, no one knew of it. And then I said, okay, I'm going to Manila. And there is a hill station named Manali in India. So they said, oh, you're going to Manali. I'm like, no, I'm not going to Manali. So a lot of people still thought that I actually work in the hill station in India and not in a foreign country.
Okay, so going back there, what did you, were you able to find out automatically when you were called 5'6" upon arriving in the Philippines? What were your thoughts when you found out the meaning? Or initially, what did you first think when you heard someone call you 5'6"?
So I think this was all taxi drivers, right? And they'll say, "Are you 5'6"? And I'm like, "What is 5'6"? And they say, "No, there are people who rent money and this, that." And I'm like, "No." So I think first few times I said, "What is 5'6"? What is 5'6"? And after that,
I got used to it.
I kept asking them the same question to show that I'm ignorant of it. But yeah, it was always a question.
Do people still ask for some umbrella or some kumot or some electric fan from you?
I don't think they have like a mat. Do you have like a mattress in India, like a mattress made in coconut leaves?
Coconut leaves. What is coconut leaves?
I'm sorry. Kumut pala would be a blanket. Okay, sorry. I got my Tagalog wrong.
No, I think...
He doesn't know what he's saying.
It's banig. Sorry. So, were you...
Because here in the Philippines... Sorry. Let me explain it to Sumit. Because Sumit, the common stereotype for a typical Indian person here is, of course, the first one is they would lend you money for a certain amount of interest, hence the 5'6". Mm-hmm. And then a certain person would be called Mumbai. Have you been called? I'm assuming you've been called Mumbai.
Yes.
And were you wondering why people were calling you as a city name or
Definitely. Yes, I did. I was like, no, what is that? And to me, I thought they were always just referring to a different version of 5'6". But is that a different thing? I still don't know that.
Is Bombay the capital of India? It's not, right?
No. Bombay is the older name of Mumbai. It's called financial capital of India, but yeah.
So we should be upgrading what we call Indian people. We should not call them Mumbai anymore. We should be calling them Mumbai.
Yes. So what does that mean?
It's nothing. It's just what we call your race. It's like you calling us Pinoys, but we call you Mumbai.
Technically,
to be honest with you, Sumit, at least from my perspective, when we call people from your country Mumbai, it's nothing racist. It's just that we were programmed to call you guys Mumbais.
Right.
So I think the reason for it is because the first batch of Indians that came here to the Philippines, they were from Bombay.
Yeah. They must have traveled from Bombay because Bombay used to be a port city.
Okay. So Sumit, we have. Go ahead, Ingo.
So I was about to recap what you mentioned. So, the typical stereotype, Indian stereotype here in the Philippines is they lend you money, hence 5'6". Their mode of transportation is riding a motorcycle. They also wear
a turban. Yes, why are you not wearing a turban? Submit your from so
turban
India.
Turban is actually again a religion of Sikh, right?
Okay.
And I think there is a lot of Sikhs in India. I think they came from Mumbai, but they are North Indians, and that's just like 1% of Indian population is Sikh. Not even 1%, maybe. But yes, I think I know they have Gurdwara near UN Avenue, right? Unilever factory. There are a lot of them. But I think that's just a very, very small population of India.
You don't have a lot of Sikhs in India, but there are a lot of Sikhs here in the Philippines.
Yes, yes. So I think Sikhs are a very, very sort of a helpful community, right? So once they go there and they realize, okay, this is better life than India, they will call all their relatives and family members and the whole village. So there is Sikhs are predominantly in Canada and UK, right? Oh. So then in Canada, like Punjabi is one of the sort of formal languages there. And they just like, if one Punjabi goes somewhere, then he'll call his whole family there. So that's how they sort of multiplied, right?
Okay.
Are you familiar why there are, like, in the Middle East, if you see a lot of Filipinos, you'll see a lot of Indians there as well?
Yeah, so I think
much like in Singapore.
In India there are almost 26 to 30 states now, right? And the number of states keeps changing, and every state has their favorite country. So a lot of people from Kerala, which is down south, they are predominantly Muslims as well. So I think they have went to UAE and all these countries, and down south in India is very hot and humid. So for them, UAE is not very like hot and humid, or it's not a very uncomfortable place for them. Whereas I am from north part of India, which has all four seasons and summer, winter, and cold. For me, UAE is a very, very harsh location. But whereas people from south, I think they don't mind the heat, and that's why they do go to a Middle East a lot. Whereas the North Indian people, they go to Canada, UK, the colder places more.
Okay. So here is the next question for our Indian checklist. Sumit, right now, if I ask you to look at your phone, is there some, or in your computer, is there an MP3 for Jai Ho in your computer or in your cell phone?
No. That was, I think for me, at least, I am just the latest song kind of a guy, right? So I'm on Spotify now anyways, right? There's no MP3. And my Spotify list is like maybe last 5 years or last 10 years song. So,
so if we look at your Spotify playlist, you haven't played Jai Ho in the last 5 days?
No, never. Never. As in, I have never looked at this song in Spotify, because I've been using Spotify for 5 years now, right? So, and Jai Ho is like, I think, 15 years old. I don't know how old that
song is. Jai Ho is not even an Indian song.
It is the theme song of the Filipino, of the Indian race. It's not, isn't it?
There's a song by the Pussycat Dolls. It's not even Indian.
But no. There is an Indian version of it. There's an Indian version.
There's an Indian version.
Okay. Yeah, which is in Slumdog Millionaire.
That's the one that I was referring to, Tito P.
I
thought you were referring to the Pussycat Dolls.
What exactly does Jai Ho mean, Sumit?
Jai Ho is a long live kind of a thing.
It's like Mabuhay in the Philippines, something like that.
Victory to you, as in victory to you, sort of a thing, that you be victorious, as in it's sort of a war cry.
We have that here. We have a word like that here in the Philippines. The equivalent of Jai Ho in the Philippines is Kupal. you can sing it. Kupal. I forgot what I was about to say. Sumit, this is something that's a little bit cringy, maybe, but we need to ask this. Are you aware that there's all of these are questions, okay? So please don't, I hope we don't offend you. That a lot of Filipinos think that there's a certain odor for your race. Is that something mm-hmm. that you guys really are conscious of? That there's a certain connotation with the race that comes with the body odor? Or is that something really common in India?
You mean body odor, okay.
Yeah.
I think not...
I think scent.
Basically, I don't know if it is really the body scent, but Indian people, they put hair oil, right? I don't know if you guys use hair oil at all.
What the fuck is hair oil, Sumit?
So I think there are a lot of people in South India who actually put coconut oil in their hair.
Okay. We also do that here in the Philippines. When
we used to do that here in the Philippines.
So I think you are maybe 20-30 years ahead of India, but Indians do it. And there are a lot of versions of the hair oils, right? As in every state sort of uses its own version. And there are some smelly oils as well that people use. So I don't know, maybe that may be one thing which really smells, right? As in there are oils which you put in your hair and they will smell throughout the day. And that's your smell, which can be very overpowering. And
so it's a preference for the culture to have that kind of smell. Is that it?
It's not preference. As in it's basically assumed as in it's more to take care of hair. So from when you're born, your mom starts doing that and then you sort of get used to it. So you don't use hair gel. As in hair gel and everything else is very, very again new in India, right?
So people still do it in India. People still put the coconut oil in their hair.
Up to now. Definitely.
Because here in the Philippines, the people stopped putting coconut oil in our hair when we realized that we were not rice desserts. So we stopped putting coconut.
So I think I'm sure a young generation is not doing that anymore. Even my wife, once a week she'll put hair oil and then she'll wash it off. So it's not that it smells, but it's still assumed to be good for your hair growth and stability and all those things.
But I think it's really good. It's just that we stopped doing it because it's a little bit sticky because of the weather. It's really hot here.
Right. If you start doing something as a kid and then everyone else is doing it, so no one really stops it. But even now I know that a lot of people are using hair gels and all those things. So yes, the young people have stopped using it and then they're using more multinational products, etc. Now.
I think in the Philippines, the equivalent of hair oil for Indians would be our body liniment. When we reach like a 40 years old or 45 years old, we usually have muscle pain. So we put in some efficacet oil, eucalyptus oil all over our body. So every time we go grocery, the guy behind us will smell us and tell us something like, hey, you're old. So, yeah.
We're gonna rate you if you're really Indian. So, with all the answers, Ingo.
There's one last question.
Okay, that's the killer question. Go ahead.
So, the killer question would be, when you talk to your fellow Indian, do you shake your hand like sideways?
Is there a study in India why Indians usually shake their heads when, like a bobblehead character when you guys talk? Or do you guys even notice that?
No, I think I never noticed it, except I've seen some stand-up comedy guys doing it. I think there's this guy, Peters, I don't know what that
Russell Peters.
Is.
Russell Peters.
Russell Peters. Russell Peters. He does that a lot. And I think when you look at him, you feel that, okay, yes, that's true. But after that, you forget and you're like, okay, I don't know what it is.
But to be honest, I've been looking at you for the whole interview. I haven't seen you bubble your head yet.
Because we're not Indian.
Yeah.
Because we're not Indian.
No, I think, I don't think that's Again, India is, I think, a bit diverse as well. So South India is very, very different from North India. And I think Russell Peter, when he talks about it, for him, he's a South Indian guy. So I think for him, he has mostly been around South Indian guys, whereas I'm from North India. So it can be like night and day, actually.
So what's the difference between the North and the South? Is it because of the
British, is it like Korea?
British influence? Or was it like... Yeah.
To some extent, yes. I think some part of South India was never captured, and there is some Portugal there, etc. But I think the main thing is the weather is hugely different, right? So, and then the food culture is also different. So in North India, you can have a lot of wheat, so you eat a lot of rotis, and then you eat
wheat. Did you say wheat?
Wheat.
Weed.
Weed is everywhere. Yes. So I think so North Indians are more like milk based diet, as in we have a lot of milk and cheese and stuff like that. Whereas South India is more fish and rice kind of diet.
Pescatarian.
Okay. And South is more hot, so I think the skin color also changes, right? So north is very cold, so up north people are as white as snow, and the more you keep going down south, the skin color keeps getting darker and darker and darker.
As dark as fuck.
yes.
Okay, so I guess, Ingo, it's time to rate Sumit with regards to his Indianity. Is that a right? Is that even a word?
Indianity. Yes.
Well,
so we're giving him on a scale of 1 to 10. What are we giving him? Is he a 9 because he missed some stuff?
Yeah, I think for me, Sumit is really a 6 because
that's really low.
I don't think he's really Indian. I think he's like, I don't know if this is offensive, Sumit. I think he's Pakistan. Just kidding. Yeah, he's pure Indian. He's pure Indian. But speaking of Pakistan, what's the issue between Pakistan and India? Because I've heard like so many like videos, or not so many, but there are some videos that Pakistan doesn't really get along with India and vice versa. Is it because of the British again?
Yeah, it is. It is to a great extent. So I think India was always a diverse country, right? And so earlier, it was a huge India, right? And when the British left in 1947, they sort of divided it into 3 parts, right? So there was a East Pakistan, there was a West Pakistan, and there was India in between. And again... The way it was done is in Pakistan is predominantly Muslim country, right? Mm-hmm. So the areas which were sort of given to Pakistan were like 70% Muslims, 30% Hindus, and in India it was like almost 90% Hindus and 10% Muslims. Mm-hmm. And when they did the partitions, there was a huge massacre kind of a thing, right? So in Pakistan, people who Muslims who were poor, and let's say it's a rich Hindu guy, they are like, no, this is our Muslim state now, so you either run away or we'll kill you. So a lot of people got killed during that partition, and it was a huge, isn't it? It was pretty bad period for almost a year, right? Because it was like, even if it is 70-80% Muslim, there's still 20% Hindus there, and for them, it was their home, right? And they were always part of that, and vice versa. So it was a huge migration of population which happened, and that resulted in a huge enmity, because it's like Indians killed my grandmother, my uncle, because you have relatives living across the border and all. So it was a pretty bad situation. And then I think a lot of politicians kept using that to get into power. They kept fighting over it. And then there is a part of India which is Jammu and Kashmir, right? Which is on top of India, which is next to Pakistan. So it's a border state, and they as in Indians wanted to get it as part of India, Pakistanis wanted to get it as part of Pakistan. And I think it's 70 years and or 75 years, and we're still fighting over that small piece of land. And that's like a very beautiful part of India or Pakistan, whatever you say, because it's like snow. It's part of Himalaya range. And it's a very beautiful part. But because of this constant fight which keeps happening there, it's all destroyed. So I think that enmity and all, it's politician who keeps using it. I think it's really politicians who are really trying to milk that now. I think as in, no one from 75 years back is alive now, so people have sort of forgotten. But yes, I think that is hard to eliminate.
No wonder you're pissed off.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Yeah. By the way, to go to a lighter note, Sumit, we also have this new segment specially made for you for this episode. And it's called I'm Sorry, Sumit. On behalf of the Filipino people, we'll be saying sorry for the offensive stuff that Filipinos have said with regards to the Indian community. So here is one of the things that I want to say sorry on behalf of the Filipino people, Sumit. The Filipino people would like to say sorry to the I was about to say Bombay community, but it's not the Bombay community. To the Indian community, to the Indian people, the Filipino would like to say sorry for telling our kids that if they don't stop crying, we will give them to the Bombay so that the Bombay would turn the kid into food.
That's scary.
That's something that we use here in the Philippines, Sumit, to scare off kids from crying. Do you have anything like that in India?
I think we normally will call that a ghost will come and eat you or something like that.
It's not another culture, definitely not Filipino, because you don't know who Filipinos are, right?
Yeah.
Someone from the chat mentioned that might be a turban legend.
But we Philip, it's a known fact, Sumit, that Filipino people are born racist. We dish out a lot of racist stuff, but we cannot take it when it's directed to us. It's a known fact, because if you would notice, a lot of people dish out these kinds of jokes. We make fun of the Chinese, Indians, the Chinese.
The white people.
We have jokes for every country. However, if we ever hear the slightest hint of a joke towards our nation,
like dog eater,
we are the ones who immediately pull out the racist card, the Filipino racist. So again, that's our first sorry from the Filipino people to the Indian people.
You mean there's more?
There's a lot. So, Sumit, on behalf of the Indian people, do you forgive us for calling you guys kidnappers?
Oh, sorry. I don't know if I can talk on behalf of Indian people. But on behalf of myself. Yeah, definitely. I think, again, just to be, I think, fair here, I never felt any racism when I was in Philippines. And again, as I mentioned, I think I was really treated as royalty or a foreigner. And As in, I never wanted to leave Philippines actually, because of the hospitality.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Here's the thing, Sumit. We might be really racist, but we also can dish out the best hospitality that people can imagine. Imagine.
Yes.
Do you have anything like this in your culture? When you're eating something and somebody passes by, it's mandatory for our culture to offer the food. We say kain na or kain tayo, which literally translates to let's eat. Let's eat. That's part of our culture. That's how hospitable Filipino people are. Is that something that you would do?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Well, so we're a little bit the same, right?
Yes.
Okay. Definitely. So the next thing, again, from the Filipino people, Sumit, to the Indian people, we would like to say sorry to all the Indian people that lent money to Filipinos that was not paid.
Just to let you know, Sumit, the interest rate for 5-6 is 20%. We give 20%. You 5. Yeah, yeah, and you give us...
Yeah, and I was under the impression that Filipino people always pay us, and that's why these people are making so much money.
No. Because there's a saying here that there's even a joke that the Indian person comes into the house and then when the Filipino person is asking for money, the dog is inside the cage. But when the Indian person is already asking for payment, the dog is outside the cage. So that's one of the Filipino jokes. So again, from the Filipino people to the Indian people, Sumit, we would like to say sorry for the Filipino people that have not paid your countrymen. So would you accept our apology, Sumit?
Yeah, I always got paid, so I accept.
I think there's another one.
There's a lot more. So you go ahead and go if you have one.
So we're sorry for those Filipino people who thought that the red button on your forehead is a power switch.
Actually, I thought it was a diagnostic light. Is that a religious thing or is that a cultural thing?
I think a cultural thing. So or it's more of a fashionable thing. Or at least it used to be. Now I think no one is doing it anymore.
I thought it was a cultural. So if it's a fashionable thing, we can still make fun of it.
Yeah, definitely. Okay.
Because are you aware of Xiaopao, Sumit?
Xiaopao? Chinese bun.
From 7-Eleven?
Pork bun. Chinese.
Yeah.
The joke is, the main reason why there's a red dot on the forehead is to know if it's asado or bola-bola.
If you know what's the feeling inside, that's
the marking. Anyways, so again, sorry for making fun of the red dot. But as you said, it's not a religious thing. It's also not a cultural thing. It's just a fashion thing. So we were retracting our apology because it's not offensive.
If it's a fashion thing, you mean if the more red dot do you have, the more fashionable your app? You
just mean there's a red dot here, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Between your
okay. So there are multiple things. Right? There is one. It's not really a dot. It's like this, right? It's a long line. That's mean basically you have been to a temple and in the temple they sort of bless you like this. So that's a sort of a long thing. And there's a well-rounded dot, which is like a removable thing.
It's a removable thing?
I thought it's like a tattoo.
I thought it was lipstick.
No. I think it's called bindi. I don't know. Maybe I can... Yeah.
Okay. So, again, we're retracting our apology because it's not really this thing. Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I guess this is one of the biggest apology for this part of the show segment. The Filipino people, Sumit, apologizes to the Indian community and to the Indian people for calling you guys Jollibee behind your back.
Jollibee.
Why Jollibee? I'm not familiar with that term.
Again, we're apologizing now, okay? So I'm gonna explain why people are calling you guys Jollibee. In the some parts of the interview, I asked you guys about your odor. Okay. And
because they smell like a burger?
No, because it's langhap sarap. So some people were making fun of some people and because of the scent. And the tagline of Jollibee is langhap sarap, which roughly translates into smells good.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Smells delicious. But it's what's sarcasm. The right term?
It's sarcasm.
So it's a code. So people were calling you guys Jollibee. So again, from the Filipino people who are also smelly, especially if it's hot in the afternoon. So it's really thick-faced for us to call you guys smelly. We are apologizing, Sumit, to the Indian people.
Actually, I was told that for Filipino people, we smell a bit acidic. So that's the difference between us and I guess the Indian people. Maybe it's because of the diet and our genetics as well. Because of what we are eating.
So what I've heard is why there's a certain scent for the Indian community is because of the curry. You guys eat a lot of curry, right? Is that right?
Yeah, but no, it doesn't smell as in I don't know. I've never smelt curry anywhere outside. But yes, I think in my kitchen there is a huge smell. I think if you enter my kitchen, you may smell it. But nowhere outside you will.
Go ahead.
Because I'm watching some online video. I know it's kind of stupid, but yeah, I'm watching some online videos where Indian street vendors handle their food with their hands.
Yeah.
So okay. I'm not quite sure if it's just like because they're trying to reduce the cost of producing the food, or is that really
let me give Sumit a background. The past few months, Sumit, there has been a trend in social media, especially here in the Philippines, where people are sharing videos of Indian street food. And okay. I guess since you're from India, you've already seen how Indian street food are prepared.
Yes.
Yeah. It's mostly with hands. It's mostly on a countertop. And right. I've been defending the Indian community with regards to this one because I think it's more on a cultural thing why Indian people prepare food like that. But from an Indian perspective, is it really like that? Is it really dirty or is it part of the culture?
No, so I think I think to some extent, after living abroad, I think there is some unhygienic part of it, and then it's probably not very sanitary way. But I think on the other side, I believe a lot of people use a lot of plastic and then are sort of killing the environment. Mm. I don't know. I think growing up, I built a lot of immunity because I was eating all the street food, which is not very hygienically made. But yes, I think using your hand even for eating is a very, very common practice in India, right? So we don't really
even
use
here in the Philippines. Even
we don't use a lot of spoons and forks growing up, right? As in, you just eat your food with your hand. Even if you are eating rice and curry, you can sort of still mix it and eat with your hand. So
exactly.
I think using hand is a very, very natural thing in India. I can now feel that at some places you probably need to be a bit more hygienic. And I think some street food vendors are really, really unhygienic, and maybe I can also not eat there. But most of the vendors, even if they are using their hands, I think it's not unhygienic considering they are washing their hands and they're making sure that the way they serve it, as in a lot of Indian food, I think it's very, very difficult to serve it with gloves and all those things. Maybe you can do it. But
I have
there's a good point. There's a good point from Tristan Ingo. A lot of Indian food has turmeric in it. And turmeric is a natural antibacterial thing. So.
Ah, okay. That would explain. Okay. So I have like...
Not unless the... What do you call old man in India?
Old man in India?
Buddha.
Yeah. Buddha?
Buddha, yeah. Buddha.
Yeah, not unless Buddha scratches his puet while balls, preparing yes. for the food. Yeah. Even turmeric cannot handle that.
No, it can. It can. Everything becomes antibacterial. Then, right?
but so wait, I have two questions. So here in the Philippines, when we wash our ass, we use tabo and or bidet. So in India, do you also use like a, what you call this? A bathroom.
Bidet is very common now, yeah.
Oh, you have bidet here in India?
Yes,
oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So the next question. Sorry, I was about to ask if you answered like you wash your ass with a pail of water as and you prepare the food with the same hand. Do you like at least use a serving spoon with your like food before you eat it in? Like there's a big pot of curry. You don't usually.
For example, rice is served.
The rice is served.
And then you place the rice in the middle. And you're gonna get rice. Is there a serving spoon or
do you use it? I think. Okay. Yeah. So for serving, there is always spoon, right? And eating also nowadays, everyone uses spoon, but you can also eat with your hand. But obviously, yes, when you serve it, you always use a spoon.
Where's the fun in that?
But culturally, you can. Is it still okay, like, to get food using your hand? Like,
no.
Ah, no. Okay.
No. So I think you don't really, if you're eating food, then you will be served. So you don't really, like, if you're eating your food, then I am your server and I can't eat till you are sort of done eating your food.
Oh, okay.
So that was like the lady of the house, right? Isn't again, in old days. So the lady of house will serve everyone. Everyone will have their food and then she will be the one to eat in the end.
So she always eats alone because she's the one who's serving.
Yeah, that's the olden days. It has changed now, but yeah, okay. I think I think my mother-in-law still follows it as much as she can.
Mm.
It's I think out of respect of for your husband as well, and it's sort of a cultural thing that's been. That's how I think a lot of girls are raised in India, or used to be. Things are changing now, so but I think olden days old people still follow the old traditions.
Okay, so Ingo and Sumit, we're on the latter part of the show, so we're gonna try and ask you some questions.
I have
some
so more many questions.
Yeah, it's also part of the latter part of the show. So, you stayed here in the Philippines for how long again, Sumit?
6 years. Yeah,
6 years. In the 6 years. What were some of the stuff that you hated most about the Philippines?
I think traffic was definitely one of those.
Okay.
Yeah, then I have sort of spent a couple of hours on EDSA and without moving. So that's, I think, on top of the list. Other than that, I think, to some extent... I have also been frustrated when people are not very dependable. I think it goes to the fact that they are not very, not everyone, but a lot of people are not very driven with their, professional life.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. They will, like, there are people who will say, okay, I am allowed to take 26 sick leaves in a year. And I will lose my sick leaves even if I'm not sick. So so at times I think that was frustrating that you don't take your sick leave just because you are allowed to. But yeah, other than that, I think everything was fun. I think traffic was the really one thing that I hated. And rest, every one thing was really great.
Cool. That's good. That's great to know. Ingo, you had another question?
Yep. So like I mentioned earlier, like there's like a parallel between Chinese people and Indian people. So in terms of homosexuality, I haven't like for pure Chinese, there's not much of I don't know any Chinese gay people. So the same also for Indian, yeah. I'm not sure because
you know what, Ingo? That's awesome. I haven't seen a gay Indian guy.
But
in real life or in TV. On the movies. Are they what's the gay situation in India?
We see Indian two straight Indian people, guys crossing the street holding hands, but they're straight.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty much allowed, or that's pretty common in India.
They're not treated badly, like they're not. It's accepted now.
Yeah. So I think homosexuality is pretty new to Indian people. I'm sure it existed always, but okay. I think the people will always live a dual life, or they'll always get married and have kids because they are forced by the society.
Mm-hmm.
But things are changing now. So I know a friend of mine who was always gay, right? But he only came out after he was 35, openly, that he's gay and he's not getting married or something.
Please tell me he came out at around 18 and ate eggs and chicken.
No, 35. So only at 35.
So at 35, he ate chicken and cock.
No, I think he was eating everything. He was eating everything, but he was never open about it. But I think he openly admitted, although his family members still don't accept it, right? They are saying, you probably, it's not true or something. And it's he's sort of living away from his family. So he doesn't live.
Did he study abroad or in an international school?
No, he studied in India. In India. And I think he studied with me in my college, right? And he
started with you?
No.
So I think like when I was in college, he had thick mustache and he was a typical Indian guy, right? He's the manly version of Indian guy. Mm-hmm. And I think he was focused on studies and all those things, so he never showed any inclination for this thing. But now he finally came out and he's still not very comfortable with it, and he just shares it with few people. So I think now, at least in last 10 years, I know people are accepting, and yes, now even in movies you see there are people who are coming out as gays or lesbians and all those things.
Okay.
But I don't know, maybe it is a very less percentage. So it doesn't really become very visible. Plus, I think because of societal issues, people are not opening up as well.
So here, right? In the Philippines, here in the Philippines, the celebrities, some of the celebrities here usually come out at a certain age in their career. So here, there in India, is it like the same, or if celebrities gay, they just keep it to themselves as much as possible?
Yeah, so I think there are none who have sort of come out after a certain time, but there have been one or two who have been quiet about it till a very long time and avoided the questions or discussions, but they never lied about it also. I think after a certain age, they sort of said that, yes, I have always been gay and all that thing. But they never flaunted it or they never discussed it till they were successful to some extent.
Oh, wow. Okay. Ingo, Do we ask the signature questions of the show already? Because it's already...
Yeah, sure. Fire away. You go first.
Sumit. Sumit. Yes. It's been really fun talking to you. But we're already at the end of the show. And in our show, we ask 3 signature questions.
Okay.
That everyone answers. And senators have answered this because we had senators in the show.
Awesome, really?
We had big stars that answered this. They were all able to answer the show.
Okay.
So you need to answer this. Ingo, what's your first question?
I thought you were
there are 3 questions, okay? So the first question is?
The first question is, what's your favorite bad smell?
Bad smell?
So example would be, mine would be the oil behind your ears. If you smell it, it's kind of bad. So Makoy, what's your favorite bad smell?
My favorite? Ingrown? Submit, I'm a little bit shy. it's the ingrown. When you cut your toenails on your big toe, mm-hmm. I automatically get it and smell it directly, sniff it I get a lot of happiness doing that.
Because there's like lint in the
That's the good stuff.
Okay.
And I also like the smell of trash sometimes.
Which one?
Trash.
Garbage.
Trash.
Garbage.
Okay. Okay. So Sumit, what is your favorite bad smell?
So I think, when I'm sweaty after a workout, at times I like that smell. So, yeah.
That's your favorite. Okay, so.
Yeah.
You like fair to smell enough. Yourself after a workout. Okay. So question is, actually, Ingo, you ask the second question and I'll ask the finale.
The second question would be the favorite.
It's the first one. The other question before the finale.
I forgot about the the other question. What's the other question?
You asked this question to senators, guys. What is this?
I think it's not applicable to him. The artista.
I think it's the artista. It's not applicable. It's not gonna work.
Ask the final one. Okay, so the final question, Sumit.
Mm-hmm.
Is what is your favorite porn search term?
Porn search term.
So just to share with you,
we're gonna share first so that it's gonna be fair.
Okay.
So, Ingo,
so mine is like current events. So for example, there is a war between Ukraine and Russia. So I'll look for a Russian soldier or Ukrainian soldier in Spank Bang. So.
Okay. You are very advanced, guys. I am not aware of such sites that they even exist.
So, my favorite one is, this is what I type on the search bar. It's Japanese group POV. That's what my search bar looks like.
What is POV?
Point of view.
So it's
Japanese
like
group point of view.
Yeah. So yeah. it's like the cameraman.
It's a lot of fun.
The cameraman is like getting on with the chick. So it will provide you like an illusion that you're actually banging the girl.
Oh.
But with my search term, it's girls.
Yeah, it's girls.
Okay, so I think you should watch this Naked Director. Have you seen that series?
Yes.
It's a Japanese series.
Yep, it's in Netflix, I believe. It tells about the history of Japanese porn.
Sumit, is porn even allowed in India? Is it strict there?
I think it's not allowed. they have tried to block a lot of sites. I'm sure it's available easily.
So what's your favorite porn search term now in Japan?
I think for me it's big boobs.
No preference, as long as it's big boobs.
Yeah,
you're all good.
Fair enough.
I guess that's it for the show. Sumit, it's been really fun talking to you. I hope we didn't offend you with our questions.
No, it was great fun. Thank you, guys.
And
thank you for having me.
To be honest, to be honest with you, we learned a lot of stuff about the Indian culture. I hope that listeners are also picking up on the stuff that we've talked about. If we have a chance in the future, maybe we could do this again so that we could... I really wanted to ask about how it is growing up in India. What are the games that you play so that we can compare it with what we do here in the Philippines? So if we get a chance in the future, let's do that. Let's compare the Indian culture.
Sure. With, let's do that.
And Ingo, you were saying something?
Yeah. Actually, one of the reasons why we guested Sumit is just for us to have like a sort of cultural exchange. And also, the problem here is that some people are like ignorant about other people's culture. So that's why there's like disrespect between two races. So we're like trying to bridge the gap in a funny way, and hopefully this would extend to other generation, and hopefully we won't see any, we won't like be separating other people based on their color, based on their accent, and based on their background. We just need to like treat them as a person. That's it.
Awesome. By the way, Sumit, I have a lot of Indian friends as well. I worked with a person named Bharat. And is that a common Indian name?
Yeah, it is. Bharat is actually sort of Indian name, Indian version of India. So it used to be called Bharat before I think Britishers took over and before the partition and everything else.
And yes, and I also have another workmate. His name is Tamhod. Is that a common Indian name or is not really Which common? Tamhod.
Tamhod.
No, you are not saying it correctly.
How
about Sukhdeep? Sukhdeep.
Yeah, Sukhdeep is a very, very Punjabi name, right? So.
Ah, Punjabi. Okay. I've only heard of Punjabi because of wrestling. Do you know the wrestler that's the great Kali?
Kali, yeah,
the correct. That's the reason.
So he's from Punjab, and Punjabis are mostly Sardars, which is a religion Sikh, and they wear turban.
Okay. Anyways, before we go, Ingo, anything else that you want to promote?
Yeah, if you like our podcast.
Ingo, pwede ka na mag-Tagalog, Ingo. Promotion na. Baka may, para masanay sila. Okay, sige.
Ayun, so kung nagustuhan nyo yung aming podcast at gusto nyo kaming supportahan, may dalawang paraan. Isang paraan dito ay i-follow nyo lang kami sa Spotify at i-like nyo yung mga pages namin, and also i-rate din kami. Then kung may extra pera kayo, punta kayo sa patreon.com/machangchismisan. $3 lang. Alam ko naiintindihan ng guest natin yung $3. Right, Sumit? So yes. You can go to patreon.com/machangchismisan, and also please subscribe to my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/IngemarCruz, where I'll be streaming every week my Elden Ring.
Nakasando ka ba niyan habang nag-i-stream?
Ano na?
Nakasando ka ba habang nag-i-stream?
No, ano, naka-fully dressed ako pag naka-stream ako.
Pero teka, may hahabol pala ako. Sumit, I almost forgot. We also want to say sorry to the again. This is the last thing from the Filipino to the Indian community. We would like to say sorry for referring to Indian people as ng Indian if the person that we are about to see does not show up.
Stood us up without any.
Do you know about that slang here in the Philippines? That if you don't show up with your meeting, we will say, you're Indian.
Oh, okay.
Wait. So again, go.
Sorry, I thought of something. Is there any like do you have like relatives in the US or in Canada? Any instances that they try to make fun of American Indian by dressing up as American Indian? So like it's like a, I don't know. I'm thinking if an Indian wears a costume of American Indian, what do you actually call them?
Ingo, it's not a costume. It's not called a costume if you dress up as an Indian, American Indian, because that's their, that's their damit. So it's not a costume.
Okay, sorry. Because when we dress up like our traditional formal dress, I call it a costume. Sorry about that.
Okay. Anyways, yeah, tried that. Go ahead, Sumit. You were saying something. Sorry.
No, we have not. I don't think anyone has tried that.
You could be the first one, Sumit. You can be the first one.
Your kids. Your kids, Mike. During Halloween.
Yeah, sure.
Anyways, you can follow us on Twitter at Machong Chismisan, no A in the end. Machong Chismisan on Instagram, no A on the end, and Machong Chismisan with A on the end at Facebook and on Twitter. And our YouTube account is also Machong Chismisan. Ingo, what's the thing that you want to say?
Party hard, game harder.
Ito ko nga po pala si Makoy Pari, your showbiz bro, na laging nagsasabi, lagi niyong tatandaan, ang tunay na macho,
chismoso.
Have a great day, everyone.
Bleep!
Yay!
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.